His word and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19, this morning, if you would. John chapter 19, we'll be looking at verse number 13 through verse number 18, and just want to add to really what Pastor Chris had said already, and said it all good, but I just want to add to it, thank you so much for all of your work in this past week, even if you weren't physically here to help. Your prayers throughout the week also were just as important. And so praise the Lord this morning for the opportunity that we had in this past week to minister to boys and girls and to reach families for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Notice in John 19, verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now underscore this next phrase. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. But back to verse 17, and he, bearing his cross. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, A Good Place to Unload. A Good Place to Unload. As I thought about that, I thought about how that in our lives, every one of us here this morning, we go through cares, stress, worry. We have burdens in our life. What are we to do with them? I tell you that there is something we can do with them, and there is a great place to go with them, and it is the proper place, and that is to cast them upon the shoulders of our Lord Jesus. And I want to this morning just to think with you for a little while on this subject, a good place to unload the cares, the stress, the burdens, the problems that we all encounter, where we can go with them. And would you notice with me, first of all this morning, to begin with in our main text here, we see the cross upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus. It literally, physically was. We find that the Jews did not want Jesus to be their king. They cried out, away with him. They cried out, crucified him. And that is ultimately what happened to the Lord Jesus. Now, we know that this was all in the plan of God. Nothing was taking God by surprise here, because Jesus, before the foundation of the world, it was that he would come into the world at the right time, and he would come to do the Father's will. But in light of that, part of this, in verse number 17, on the way to Golgotha, he would carry his cross. He would bear his cross on his shoulders. Now, there was later one by the name of Simon of Cyrene who would carry the cross the rest of the way for the Lord Jesus, but we find that Jesus literally was under the weight of that cross. And we find that he willingly bore that cross. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 9, saying of Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I don't think you ever see in the life of the Lord Jesus him struggling to obey the Father's will. I think that there was moments when he thought about that one day I'm going to be the sin bearer, but you never see in the life of the Lord Jesus a spirit of disobedience about him. He said, no, I have come to do thy will, O God. And part of that will was to embrace the cross. And we find that in John chapter 10 and verse number 17, Jesus said this, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." And then in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me." That is speaking of his life. "No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so Jesus willingly took up that physical cross, if you would, for you and for me. He says, "You men have not taken my life from me. I have willingly laid it down." Now we find that there was a purpose in Jesus bearing that cross upon his shoulders. We find in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says this, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." And so Jesus' purpose of taking up that cross and literally laying on that cross and hanging on that cross was to bear our sins in his own body. I would remind you, church, this morning that this was a body that knew no sin. This was one who became the sin bearer, but he knew no sin while he was on the earth. He was confronted by sin, he was tempted, and yet without sin. This is what made him qualified to be our sin bearer. Go with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of Colossians. The New Testament book of Colossians, and I want to show you a few verses and show you the relationship of Jesus and the purpose of why he went to the cross. Colossians chapter 1, and note verse 14 for a moment. Colossians 1 and verse 14, where it says, "In whom," that is speaking of Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And so we know this morning that there is only one who can take care of our sin. And by the way, he did a great job, did he not? And we find in the context, "in whom we have redemption." We have been redeemed. We have been bought through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And then the verse says that we have even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God, we have a place to go with the load of our sin, because Jesus bore the load of that sin for us. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And so you go back to verse 20 and you think about the purpose of the cross. You think about the reason Jesus endured all of that. He said so that we can have peace through the blood of his cross. I still remember so well the words of the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down." Well, praise God, when Jesus died, the wall, the barrier came down, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Why? Because we were alienated. We were cut off and enemies in our mind by wicked works. We were sinful people in need of a Savior. And in verse number 21, or verse 22, he says the purpose so that he could present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now notice, if you would, in verse chapter 2 and verse number 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Brother Glenn did a great job this morning in the adult class in speaking of the old covenant and then the new covenant, and thinking about how that the old covenant carried with it the ordinances and so forth. And the book of Galatians talks about it as the law. And there's not a one of us here this morning that can keep the law 100%. All are guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise God, when Jesus died, he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. And Jesus, remember, he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law, and it was fulfilled in him. And we find in the context here, he says that the purpose of bearing that cross was so that you and I could have a means of forgiveness. You and I could be redeemed. You and I could be at peace with God and have the peace of God in our life, so that we could be holy and unreprovable in his sight, and so that we would not be living under the law, but that we could have life in Jesus Christ. Praise God this morning that Jesus Christ bore the cross upon his shoulders. But notice with me, if you would, an Old Testament reference in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and I want you to see this morning the second matter that was upon, I've jumped ahead to my third point. You want to hear what my third point is? You got to hang on, all right? Let's go back and go to the second, it's still in the Old Testament. Go to Exodus chapter 28. I was getting so excited there, jumped ahead of myself. But go to Exodus chapter 28, and here we see the second matter that was upon the shoulders of our Lord Jesus. But I want to reference an Old Testament setting for you, and then before we look at the New Testament, we see not only the cross upon the shoulders of Jesus, but we see his sheep upon his shoulders. Notice now in Exodus chapter 28, verse 9. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Now, what I want you to really notice is in the latter half of verse 12, how that Aaron would bear their names before the Lord. Now it tells us what those names are in the verses I just read in verse 9 and verse number 10, the 12 names of the tribes of Israel, and we find that he would bear their names upon his shoulders. He was acting, if you would, as a high priest going before the Lord, and this was how it was to be done. And you go with me now to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. Today, I am not your priest. Today, you don't have to go to a priest, an earthly priest. Praise God, you have a heavenly priest. And now notice in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. By the way, the earthly priest in the Old Testament, it could not be said of them that they were without sin. But it can be said to this very day that our high priest was without sin and is without sin. Amen? And we find verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so the cross was on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus, but we find also we as his sheep who have gone astray according to Isaiah 53, that he carries us on his shoulders. Now think about this for a moment here in Hebrews, and I think about this idea in verse 14 and following, how that this care that the high priest has for us is a personal care. Remember in John 10, when Jesus was talking about this, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Now, let me ask you, husbands, how well do you know your wife? I say, "Pastor, sermon was good till you had to ask that." Wives, how well do you know your husbands? Children, teenagers, how well do you know your parents? Here's where I'm going with this. You and I have limited knowledge. The Bible tells me as a husband to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. I am to try to understand her. I am to try to dwell with her with understanding and to know her. But I tell you that there is one who knows her far better than I know her, and that is my Lord. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He knows your cares. He knows your heartaches. He knows your burdens. He knows your stress. He knows your anxiety. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows all about you, but he knows you. He knows your name. I love the words of the song, "And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll just be fine because he knows my name." And praise God today that we have a Savior who carries us, if you would, upon his shoulders. It speaks of his personal care. You know, you get into the Old Testament book of Psalms, and we all know Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And there are times when that shepherd will literally pick up a sheep and put it upon his shoulders and carry that sheep. Sometimes because it's hurt, other times because maybe it's just kind of lost its way and so forth. But he will place that sheep upon his shoulders, speaking how he personally cares. And I want to tell you, church, I know you know this here, but let it really sink in your hearts that you have a Savior who cares for you. He loves you. He knows you. And he has not abandoned you, and he never will. "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." And so he carries us on his shoulders. This speaks of his personal care, and it speaks of his tender care. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him." Why? "For he careth for you." Boy, I realize we live in, as was mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning, we live in a world that's messed up. We live in a world, though, that is hurting. We live in a society that's hurting and a culture of people that are hurting. Where can they go? Thank God this morning we can go to the Lord Jesus who personally cares for us and expresses tender care to us as his children. And that's why here in verse 16 he says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Why? So that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Please understand this morning. God has not abandoned you. God cares for you. And we find in this passage of Scripture the Savior who personally bore his own cross on his shoulders, bears you and me on his shoulders as well. But now go with me to Isaiah chapter 9, and I want you to see the third truth, and that is that we see the government upon his shoulders. Notice in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. A passage that is most often referred to at Christmas time. But I don't think this is just speaking of Christmas time. All right? Notice now Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born. This is, yes, prophetic at the time. And it is speaking of the Lord Jesus and how that he would be born and what his purpose would be and what his name would be. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So in verse number 6, speaking of the Lord Jesus, how the government shall be upon his shoulder, this verse looks to a time still future when Christ will reign over a literal earthly geopolitical kingdom that encompasses all the kingdoms and governments of the world. One day, church, this is going to happen. Brother Glenn again made reference to this in Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah chapter 31 through chapter 34, and how that the Lord one day, after the time of tribulation upon the earth, there will be this 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and we find that he will rule with justice. He will rule in holiness. Oh, what a time this will be, yet future, that is going to come upon the earth. And we find that there are many prophecies that speak of Christ coming and his personal reign upon the earth. While you have God's precious word in your hand, go over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and again, this is prophetic. It hasn't come to pass as of yet, but one day it shall come to pass. And notice in Revelation chapter 19, and pick it up with me at verse number 14. Revelation 19 and verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Sometimes a child, I know I had this question when I was a child, when one of my pets died, I wondered, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, is my pet in heaven? It's a common question. And one of the things that we know will be in heaven will be horses, right? How many of you love horses? Yeah, Brother Tracy, you're going to have the biggest horse, man. The Lord's got a special one for you. But we know there's going to be horses. And then the lion and the lamb lay down together. So we know there's at least those three, the lion, the lamb, and horses. Just a thought. That's not my main point here. But it is interesting that sometimes this question children will ask, will there be pets in heaven? But notice now, verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, speaking of Jesus, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I would remind you, church, that Philippians chapter 2 says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But when he comes here in this context, he is coming with a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we as God's people, the church, we do have so much to look forward to. and you think about this is all yet future. And so the question that I need to pose to you is this. Since this reign of Christ on the earth is yet future, is he now ruling in my heart and in my life? Because the one who comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants us to yield to his lordship daily in our life. He wants to rule on our heart's throne now. Even though this is all prophetic in this context, Jesus wants us to live what we professed initially at our point of conversion. That is, we cried out, Lord, save me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we called him that. We acknowledged him that as that. And he needs daily in our life to be yielded to as Lord. He's Lord of my life. That means he's Lord of everything of my life. Anything that I touch, he's Lord of. And I need to be yielding to his control. I need to be yielded to his lordship daily in my life. Because one day, praise God, we will live in complete yieldedness to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But I want to begin to live that way now. How about you? You see, when you think about this then, for some of you, you may be concerned about your future. You may be concerned about decisions that are facing you that could deeply impact your future. My son-in-law and daughter just moved in with us temporarily until he can find a job. He's got a couple of interviews this week. And as I think about that, I have been praying for him this prayer, Lord, help him to discern your clear direction for his life. Because here's what I know, the most miserable place in all of the earth for a Christian is out of the will of God. The most peaceful place is in the will of God. Now, when you consider that then, for him, it is a job. What kind of job does God have for me? Here's what I know. God knows. And when he goes through those interviews this week, he's already went through a couple of them, God knows where they need to go next. And so I'm not worried about it. I'm praying about it with them about it. Now for you, it may not be the need of a job, but it may be something else. For some, it might be a health issue. What does that look like for you? How is my life going to change as a result of this health issue in my life? Here's what I know. He knows. And our responsibility is to trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. How did God lead the children of Israel in the time of the wilderness? Well, for one, by a pillar of fire, by a cloud. I say, man, I wish God would do that for me. I mean, at least something, some visible sign. Well, that's how he did lead them back in those days. But today he leads you and I through a couple of sources. One, through his precious word, and two, through his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And if we will learn to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we will be led of the Spirit. Now, as you consider that then, church, I want you to think about this. He cares not only about your future, he cares about your now. Will you trust him? Will you follow him? You see, the Lord is more than able to carry the weight of our sin. He already did that. He's not coming back to die again. He's coming back one day for us. The church will be raptured, but even beyond that, he's coming to rule and reign upon the earth. Praise God for that. But he is able to bear the weight He did of our sin. He is able to carry the weight of our present problems. Boy, have you ever been, I know you have, you ever been under such weight of a problem you thought you were going to die? Or you just thought, man, I can't take anymore. Thank God this morning you have a Savior whose shoulders are broad enough to carry the weight of your problems. And then He also is able to carry your future. The songwriter wrote, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live." So yes, upon the shoulders of Jesus, you can unload. I encourage you to do it. See, well, God doesn't want to hear me complaining. I kind of beg to differ with you. I don't mean we ought to have a complaining spirit, but what I mean by that is you read the Psalms and you will find David using the word complaint before the Lord. There were times he didn't understand the ways of God. How many of you understand the ways of God? And there's times I don't understand the ways of God. There's times I'm perplexed. There's nothing wrong with saying that to God. But thank God today, whatever you face, whatever you are facing, whatever you will face, you have a place. It's the proper place, by the way. It's not throwing that dead dog in the ditch like I did. You can unload your problem and put it on the shoulders of Jesus because He cares for you. Amen. Amen. Father, thank You this morning that Jesus bore the cross. Thank You that He hung on that cross so that we could have a way of forgiveness of sins. We could not save ourselves. You knew that. And so thank You that Jesus came to do Your will. And He cried out on that cross and said, "It's finished." We look forward now to His coming at any moment. But until He does, Father, there are things that we encounter in life, and I realize that some of these dear people walk through the doors of this building today who are facing real life problems. And I know in their thoughts they know where they can go, but sometimes, Father, we struggle. We struggle getting there. But help these dear people today to come to the proper place, to come to Jesus and unload their problems upon Him. He said to cast all of your care upon Me, for I care for you. So help us this morning to do that. Father, I know there have been times in my life, more than I can count, when I've tried to bear it on my own. I've tried to work it out on my own. So stinking independent, so full of pride, thinking I can do it. But Father, I thank You for Your patience and Your long suffering with me, that You've teach me along the way that always the proper place is to look up to You. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. So help us this morning. Help us. We need You. Every hour we need You. So help us, Father, today to unload our problems, our cares, our anxieties, our stress, our worries, our burdens. Cast it all on You. And as the songwriter wrote, leave it there. Help us to do it. Even when we can't see our way to do it, help us. When we're so weak, we can't seem to do it, strengthen us. Help us. Jesus' name I pray, not their heads bowed. Would there be those here this morning who say, Pastor, I needed this thought of Scripture this morning. If it wasn't for anybody else here this morning, it was for me. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would take heed and unload my cares, my stress, my burdens, my problems, and just cast it all on the Lord, knowing that He cares for me. Pastor, remember me in prayer this morning that I would do just that. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Are there others this morning? So yes, Pastor, that's me. Just remember me in prayer that I would cast all of my care, not just some of it, but all of it on Him and just rest in His care for my life. Anybody else, just lift your hand up and put her back down while we wait. Anybody else? Now, Father, how I praise You for working in hearts. For these dear precious souls, You've touched their hearts. And You know the cares, the problems that they're going through. You have not abandoned them. You have not left them alone. You're there. Sometimes the problems can cloud our vision of the fact that You are there. But help us, help these dear people to cast all of their care upon You. And may they rest in the truth that You care for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand.